Well, good morning. Today, I'm going to share a little bit of about Joseph. And the reason being is he's been a role model for me for most of my life. And before I start that, though, I'd like to just look at 2 Timothy 3:16. And I just have the impression sometimes, talking to Christians, and even in my own life, that when we read the Scripture, especially in the Old Testament, we read it like a newspaper from this perspective. Maybe last night, there was a mom that died in a car accident. And we read it, and just kind of read it, oh, that's sad. But if that was your mom, or if that was your sister, we'd totally different. We identify with that loss. So today, my goal in 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. In saying that, okay, my goal today is for us to identify with Joseph. There's so many things that we can identify with his life, and hopefully I can point out those things that I identified with. That, see, the Scripture is written, what's it say there, all of it is written for our instruction and our correction. And, you know, what's amazing to me sometimes when you talk to people, and they ask, well, why would these things happen to me? And I said, well, you know, sometimes here's God's purpose in life is sometimes to put you through things so that, you know what, that you can help somebody else go through the same thing. How many of us have identified with a situation where you've never walked through it, but somebody else has? When they put their hand in your hand, it means a lot. So if we can identify with Joseph in that same way, I think it means so much more than just reading the pages of Scripture. So the second thing is, part of our getting together here in Hebrews 10 says, let us gather together in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling ourselves as many as some have. And you know, this is the key here, and much more as you see the day approaching. And I don't know about you guys, but I see the day approaching when we have to be worried about somebody coming into our assembly here that might cause disruption because we're the enemy and we're the people that's causing all the problems. So I'm just saying the day approaches. We need to stir up each other. So let's just start in, let me get my slide here. We'll read. We got there? Okay, let's go to Genesis chapter 37. And there's not enough time for us to read the whole story of Joseph. So I just kind of picked out some of the things that kind of stirred some things in my heart. Get that. Chapter 37, verses 3 and 4. Like I say, there's a lot in this story if we just would. Starting with verse 3, he says, now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. You know, time doesn't permit, but do you know partly why Jacob loved Joseph more than all the others? Jacob worked 7 years for Laban to win the wife, his wife, Rachel. But see, Jacob, as the Scripture would say, what goes around comes around, and was got a taste of his own medicine as far as deception, and Laban deceived him and gave him his older daughter Leah. So he had to work another 7 years for his love of his life, Rachel. Well, Rachel wasn't able to have children for a long time. And she finally conceived and had Joseph. Now, this is what I'm saying. Just picture this. Here's the son of a married woman that he had, that he loved and cared for. And then she has Benjamin, and guess what? She dies. So there's two dynamics going on here. One, Joseph was loved more than any others, and the brothers hated him for it. Now, can we identify in that situation? Maybe none of you can. Maybe that's just part of the story where, hey, you know, I lived in a family, my dad, or whatever fits your... But when favoritism comes into your life, and you see it... See, I had somewhat of this... I can identify with that, because I had an older brother who, I'm even ashamed to say it, but I hated. And you know, I'm more ashamed to say that when he was killed in an automobile accident or motorcycle, I was glad. I was 12 years old. So I can identify with some of this hatred in somebody's heart and wanting someone dead. All right? So that's why Joseph, in many ways, I can identify with. Thank God for God's grace. But, okay, there's where we go on that story. Genesis 37, 23 and 24. Let's hop up there. So it came to pass, when Joseph had come to his brothers, they had stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic of many colors that was on him. Then they took him and cast him into the pit. And the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. So the brothers take him and put him in a pit. They actually was planning to kill him. So let's go to 39, because this is where some of the interesting part of Joseph's life happens too, and this is probably the key thing. So I guess the brothers take him out of the pit, and like I say, this whole long story here, and they sell him to a caravan. And it says now in verse 30, or chapter 39, verse 1. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he had, did prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him sovereign over his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. So it was from the time that he had made overseer of his house and that all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and blessed the Lord. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance, and it came to pass from these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph and said, "Lie with me." And he refused and said to his master's wife, "Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. Now then, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" So it was, as he spoke to Joseph day, she spoke to Joseph day after day, that she did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. But it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to his work, and none of the men of the house was inside, and she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. And so it was then, she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside. that she called to the men of the household and spoke to them, saying, "See, he has brought into us a Hebrew to mock us. He came into me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And it happened when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried out that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside." So she kept his garment with her until his master came home. Then she spoke to him with words like these, saying, "The Hebrew servant whom you brought to us came into me to mock me. So it happened, as I lifted up my voice and cried out, that he kept his garment with me and fled outside." So it was, when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, "Your servant did to me after this manner," that his anger was aroused. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the prison. Wow, right? I guess in verse 2, something that when I was reading this, it just really just sometimes when you read Scripture, it pops off the page and you really think. Verse 2, it says, "The Lord was with Joseph." And I thought, where does that go? What, the Lord was with Joseph. All right. And, you know, when you read this story, you can understand why the Lord was with Joseph. I'm not saying that God honors those who honor him. And, you know, as you read on here, what did Joseph explain to the master's wife? Not only could he not sin against her husband, but who else? God. So for whatever reason, I'm not saying whatever, something Jacob did. Okay, do we understand that Joseph was 17 years old when he was sold into slavery? I don't know about you, but I wasn't a very mature young man at 17. And if my family had put me on a bus with chains and sent me down to Mexico as a slave, I don't know what kind of thoughts I would have been having. I don't know about you, but in the flesh, our very being would be challenged, wouldn't it? But there's some principles that whatever, and this is lived out, and this is why I love the book of Joseph's life, is that in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says, "The trust the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, but acknowledge Him in all your ways, and guess what? He'll make your path straight." So Joseph got the message. He went into that house. Now, I've always said to people, either life makes you better or bitter. And Joseph lived that principle out. Instead of being bitter about his circumstances, he trusted the Lord in this and worked. And there's another verse in Matthew 5:16. It says, "Let your work so shine before men that," guess what? "They will glorify your heavenly Father." And isn't it interesting that Potiphar noticed, you know, Marianne and I now have a business. And it's really interesting that, I don't know if any of us have owned a business or had something, but even when Pastor Bob leaves here, when he has the utmost confidence in somebody, he can leave everything there in their hand and not worry. You know what the word there is? He trusted Joseph. Now, what's interesting about it is, Joseph earned that trust, and he showed why he trusted him. So, I guess a role model to follow is that we just do the right thing no matter what happens in our life. So, and God's providence will take care of that. Now, let's go to, we'll continue on to 21 and 23. It says, "And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the prisoners were confined, and he was there in the prison." And what does it say? "And the Lord was what? With Joseph." "The Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison." And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hands all the prisoners who were in the prison. whatever they did there, he was with his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because what? The Lord was with Joseph. And whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. Now, this might sound like a message of prosperity and blab it and grab it type thing. No, it's not. I mean, what it is, it says this world will give you trouble, but Jesus said, I'll overcome it. And I guess it's an example of getting knocked down. You know, there's a proverb that says a righteous man falls seven times, but what's he keep doing? And you know, some of the people in my life that I respect so much more, and maybe you can identify with this too. I you know, especially maybe the kids, and you have a character of this where two different situations. A ground ball's hit to the shortstop, and it goes through his legs. And maybe we can, you know, experience these things. And the little boy falls on the ground and just cries and gives up. The manager has to go out, get him, take him out of the game, and put him in the dugout. Or the second scenario. The ball goes through the little boy's legs. He pats his glove again and says, hit me another one. You know what I'm saying? It's like you don't let things get you down. You just keep getting right back up. And this is is something that I see in Joseph's life. And like I say, I'm not... I know for sure that this didn't happen by chance. Jacob, because he loved Joseph, must have just instilled in him the life of Isaac and Abraham and the God of Isaac. I'm sure he heard the story of Abraham and Isaac. You know, the fact that Abraham was willing to take Isaac, now this would have been his grandfather, and put him in, take him and almost sacrifice him, and how God, you know, all those stories he heard, and he had a belief system in trusting God. He had to have. There's no other way that somebody can overcome some of the things without having a total trust. And you know what? And for God to say that he was with him and that he would prosper him, it's just, to me, totally amazing. Okay, let's go to Genesis 50. This is probably more the message that we want to get across today more than anything. Go to chapter 50, and it's verse 14. And if you want to, you know, like I say, time not permitting today, but if you want to read this whole story of Joseph and how the brothers came and the different things went on, like I say, it's just very, very interesting. And going back to my original verse, 2 Timothy 3:16, it's for our correction, instruction. It teaches us things. The Old Testament, I believe, is living out of characters that actually lived out New Testament principles. That we see them actually living out what the New Testament and Jesus and Paul was teaching us. And we'll get into some of those verses here in a little bit. But all right, verse 14. And after he had buried his father, Joseph returned to Egypt. He and his brothers and all who went up with him to bury his father. And when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him. So they sent messages to Joseph saying, before your father died, he commanded, saying, thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now please forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also went and fell before his face, and they said, behold, we are your servants. And Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as this day to save my people. Now therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. And Joseph wept when they spoke. You know, I asked myself the question, why would Joseph weep? I believe you see a godly response and a worldly response here. Joseph was a man, if you would want to say, after God's own heart. And the reason I can say that, you know, it says you will see by your works and your fruits who you are. You know, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes we can be so filled with Scripture. But see, in James it says that if you're just a hearer of the Word and not a doer, that doesn't do you really any good. You need to work out the principles you see. And Joseph was a man that demonstrated God's grace in his life and God's willingness to do what? Forgive. And now you have the brothers. What's interesting here is there's like maybe 20 years. It said that Jacob lived there for 17 years. So there's a period of, I'm not sure exactly how many years it was by the time that Joseph went when he was 17 and how old he was. But it's 20 years. Okay, this is where we need to kind of, maybe this is where this hits home more than any other part of this, all right? Those brothers lived in almost fear, correct? Of what? Revenge. And have you ever been in a situation where, I can remember a couple times in talking about, you know, your family and things, where mom and dad are gone, your protectors aren't there anymore. Okay, Dennis, you know, those little things, or the teacher's out of the room. You understand what I'm saying? Have you ever been in a situation where you had somebody and they kind of cornered you and said, okay, your buddies aren't here anymore. So now what are you going to do, Dennis? So this is the feeling that the brothers had. Dad was gone. Their feeling of protection was gone. And now Joseph was going to get even. Now, why would you think they would think like that? I asked myself that question. I said, why would you think they'd think like that? You know why? And this is where I'm saying you have a godly response where you can deal with it and put it aside. It, you know, God is one that says He will take our sin and throw it as far as the east is the west. He doesn't remember it. I mean, and then you have the worldly perspective of the brothers who thought, if I could not forgive, how could I ever believe that you could? All right? I mean, and so many times we put ourselves into situations where we think for other people. And sometimes that's not a good process to have. So these brothers lived in fear. And Joseph wept because of the fact that he didn't demonstrate anything. Okay, now, this goes back to saying why God was with Joseph. Do not be afraid, for I am in the place of God. But God meant it for good. So, the life of Joseph, just in the things we've talked about here, was one that he looked through the lens of God and what he was doing in his life constantly. No matter what obstacle he was put in his way, God nursed him and ministered to him. And he, okay, we sang the song here, Psalm 121. Whence cometh my help? From the Lord, And Joseph certainly demonstrated that he had a relationship with God in that such that he could trust Him and he leaned on Him. So we have a Joseph. Now, this is where when we can make him personalize it a little bit. He lost his mother at a very young age, was rejected at 17 years old, was put into slavery, put in this prison for something he didn't do. That's another little maybe tidbit there to think about. I don't know about you, but sometimes in my own life, I don't know how you guys react to the fact when you're blamed for something you didn't do. Our natural reaction is, it just really bugs me. I don't know about you guys. But you're okay now, and accepting the consequences of that too? I don't know how many of us really accept that very well. But Joseph was put in prison for something he didn't do. Now, a verse that had to be in, I know he didn't have the scriptures at that time as far as the book of Proverbs, but he trusted the Lord. And in Romans 8:29 it says, a lived out principle, it says, all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purposes. Now, do you see where Joseph looked at this thing and said, you know what? He even shared that. The fact is, am I in the place of God? And you meant it for evil. Now, here's the thing that Joseph did. He didn't dismiss the fact that they did something. Oh, it's fine. I didn't. Yeah, it was evil. I mean, I struggled. And what I've read a little bit as far as the names of his two sons kind of indicate a little of the reminder of the struggle that he went through. But when the end of the day, he said, you know what? All things work together for good. And he lived out that principle. Let's go to Romans 12:17. Another New Testament thing that Paul calls us to that Romans 12:17. Okay, it says, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. And if it's possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. There, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So when I say there's a worldly reaction to most of these situations, I think most of us, if we really admit it, when evil is done to us, or we feel like we've been mistreated, or even life circumstances, the first thing, you know, the old adage is, I might not get mad, but I will what? Get even. And you know, in many ways, we might not do anything, but it's kind of interesting here. It says, live peaceably with one. If your enemy is hungry, feed him, or if he's thirsty, give him a drink. So many times, yeah, we say, oh, okay, well, yeah, I won't get even. I won't be mad, but we withdraw and we don't do anything. And if that person ever needed help. So I think we can identify with the situation in lives. How many of us here have been mistreated in our families? Again, I can see that personally in my own life. And I had a twin sister that was sexually abused. And trying to get her to understand that, yes, it's a horrible, awful, terrible thing. I'm not dismissing that. And I hopefully you guys don't get the understanding, oh yeah, you just poo-poo it off and just not. Just like with Joseph, that was an evil thing they did to him. But what does God call us to? You know, Romans 12 says that, you know, Paul says, I beseech you, brother. It's almost like somebody coming to you and say, hey, please, please, please. Not to be conformed to the world, but renew your mind. And some of these verses we need to put in our mind and say, hey, revenge is not it. And see, sometimes what happens is the victim, if you want to call it, sometimes is the person that beats himself up. And the revenge that they seek, or the getting even. I remember Beth Moore sharing a little bit about the story of Joseph when Joseph was going to go seeking the brothers. And apparently in her background, she had some misdeeds going on in her life. And she was just saying a lot of times in her life, and my sister can identify, with this too, that she just wanted satisfaction, whether it was getting even or some type of revenge of just letting this person know. And Beth shared it this way, how many nights she cried in her pillow because it just tormented her and wanted to kind of just let this gentleman know, you know, how much pain he had inflicted in her life. And she was using this, you know, parallel with so what are you seeking, I guess is what she asked. And she finally got an opportunity to meet the perpetrator. And so he didn't even have a clue. He had no idea of the pain he inflicted. So she was just kind of lamenting of the fact is, sometimes what we're seeking from somebody, a person cannot give you. Matthew 11:29. I believe that's where we can go. It says, ye who are weary and heavy laden. Sometimes in our lives, we are tormented or nagged by certain things. And like I say, this is the beauty of the story of Joseph. He didn't let these things nag him. He didn't let these things bother him. He went on to the next step. So in the principle, weary and heavy laden, I'm sure there were many nights that he was in that prison cell asking the Lord what, you know, it was almost like a Job saying, where's my Redeemer? But at the end of the day, when he had to do what he had to do, he did what was right. So there's the verse 11:29 of Matthew. It says, all ye who are weary and heavy laden. And sometimes I've heard that verse where they said, you know, where it's just where you're tired at work and stuff. No, that is not what that's talking about at all. How many of us get to a point where you say, Lord, I've had enough? You know, where life comes tumbling down, or you beat yourself up, and this is that weariness and heavy laden. You just don't, you know, it might even be the fact that you don't feel like you're worth anything. You know, you have no purpose in life. And see, again, that's where you go back to Joseph. When you're looking through the prism of God or the lenses of God, you know that He has a plan for you. Jeremiah 11:29. You know, if we understand, we trust Him. You know, Mary and I have these conversations sometimes, and we have these. We travel a lot and things, and I like to use my GPS, and Mary Ann likes to use the map. All right, and she will argue with my GPS or things, and be like, "Why are you going that way?" Or the other thing is, we'll be on a tour bus or something, and she'll be kind of seeing where they're going and what route. Where are they going? And I'll look at her and say, Marianne, the driver and the GPS knows exactly where they're going. Just put your map away and let's enjoy the scenery, right? And I would use that analogy to our lives sometimes. Yes, there are tough times. I'm not even saying that. But you know what? This is where we need to just trust the Lord. You know, the one thing that can get you through, I remember a pastor said one day, he would counsel people and he'd say, "Can you get through today? Can you get through today?" And they're saying, "Yes." So that's all the Lord gives you. He said, "Why are you worrying about tomorrow? Live today." You know, the fact that God says, "I am," what does that represent? The present. So sometimes people can't live their lives because they're so fearful of what happened in the past, or they regret or have guilt so much in the past, they can't live. And there's so many people that have so much guilt or fear going into the future, they can't live there. So what's the Lord say to us? Trust Him. He knows where He's going. And enjoy the bus ride, right? So, and you can see that, like I say, that principle lived out in Joseph's life. The next verse I wanted to go to was Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. It says, now, again, here's what I don't want to come across as a nag. I just heard this recently where somebody said, when somebody else says something to you, it's almost like you're a nag. How many of us like nags? Not too many, right? You're just a nag. I don't like that connotation, do you? But here's what I'd rather have. You leave here with nagging thoughts. Have you ever heard a scripture and you can't get it out of your mind? Where the Lord just, it's like it's a two-edged sword and it comes in and you just... So I hope today some of this would become a nagging thoughts where you say, "Hey, I can't get this out of my mind. And I'm, Lord, this is maybe what I wanted to hear. This is what I needed to hear. I don't know. Maybe this message was for Dennis, and you guys are hearing it. But anyway, in Ephesians 4:31 and 32, it says, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." Now, how do we do that? Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking put away from you. Can we do that on our own strength? I don't think so. I think that's where we, going back to Romans 12, says we need to transform and renew our minds into such that we're not thinking our thoughts, we're thinking God's thoughts. And one verse that we use a lot of times in Isaiah 55, it says that God's ways are much higher than ours. You know, right before that, it talks about how God is compassionate and has mercy. I think it's referring to that as much as anything. That His way is far above ours. His thoughts are much different than ours. See, so many places in Scriptures, it said God is a God of full of what? Compassion. How many times did you see where Jesus said He had compassion on them? The one place in Scripture where they brought the adulterous woman to Jesus and threw Him down at His feet and shared how this woman, has adultery. And that the political response should have been what? She should have been stoned, right? Well, He asked the question that I think is very interesting. Is who among you who haven't committed any sin, you know what? You can throw the first stone. And what happened? They all left. But who's the only person there that could have thrown the stone? It's Christ. And see, we were just talking to somebody last week in Sunday school, and they were talking about how this whole, why could one person, Jesus, make any difference, you know, as far as to my life today? You know, I guess it was some students. And, okay, the living out of Christ in your life and understanding, going back to 2 Timothy 3, if we can let the Scriptures, inspired Word of God, teach us, correct us, train us, you know, we can be totally different people. You know, that's what the instruction manual is all about. And like I say, what happens is this, is the more you live out those principles, the more you see the reality, not that they, it's not like a formula where it just works, but you know, there's a living out of it that brings you, that you can sleep better at night. I mean, this, you know, worry about so many things you can't even sleep. You know, going back to that weariness and heavy ladenness. So, Ephesians 4 says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking put away from you. I can't hardly believe that Joseph did not dwell on any of those things. And the reason I say that is the things that he lived his life out and the things he did, being come into the household of Potiphar, being raised up, going into the prison and raised up. And then probably the biggest battle that anybody would see is the fact that he forgave his brothers. He did not harbor any bitterness towards them. And let's just be honest. There's some things in our lives, if we're really honest with ourselves, and we need to bring to the Lord, that we have bitterness about, or anger about, or we evil speak about. I mean, how many of us have worked in a job where maybe you've got messed over? I mean, okay, like I say, in family situations. Maybe you had a situation where I know some people say, well, you know, they lived in their lives and they didn't have the experience of having a mom and a dad. You know, it's very interesting how the Lord works in our lives. And one of the things, I've shared a little bit of my testimony before, and you know, the worst thing that ever happened to me, though I really probably wouldn't want any of you to experience in a way, and in some ways I don't know if I'd want to go through it again, but you know, I was in a pretty bad accident and had to spend about 4 months in the hospital. And it's interesting, when we're in trouble and we need help, at that point in time, I got kind of pretty religious. You know, reading the Bible and reading the Scriptures and thinking, you know, that this was some kind of a genie that you rubbed. And then, poof, he comes out and helps you. Well, see, in one way that's true. But in the other way, if you don't have the right relationship with God. And so what happened was, because he didn't answer prayer, I became, talk about bitter, and said, you know, in my own heart, I said, to hell with God. I needed your help and you didn't come. So maybe that's a situation, maybe you can identify with that a little bit, different things have happened in your life. Well, again, God orchestrated things, and I come to the realization that God is not the servant I am. He's the master. I'm the servant. And when I really believe that in many cases, until we come to a point in our lives, you know, in Philippians it talks about the fact that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And maybe you guys have heard that 100 times. But I really believe in my heart when the crux of the matter comes is when we're willing to bow the knee to Christ and say, yes, Lord, here am I. I will serve you. And part of it is going into being obedient to Scripture and knowing that these are the things that we need to do. Well, again, I hate to put it in that term. It's something, if we're a new creation in Christ, we hunger and thirst after these things. We want to do these things. And I don't really believe that Joseph did that just because it was a formula and he would do it. He was a man that was transformed and loved God and wanted to serve Him. And guess what? God, you know, prospered him in that. So, in Jeremiah, I have another thought here. No, if so many times, we pray for miracles and things, and in Joseph's life, you know, God could have just dropped him into Egypt and instantly made him prime minister. That would have been a miracle. And God didn't use a miracle. He used providence. And the seemingly random choices of many people accomplished God's perfect will. And I think the mindset we need to have is that, you know, in Jeremiah 29:11 it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope." So, I guess the last thing that I want to leave you with is this. Contentment is the product of living in the love with the saints, cultivating joy in your heart in the Lord, facing life with a patient, humble, sweet reasonableness that accepts very little and never demands and never articulates rights, all built on a confident trust in God who is near and who is sufficient. I think that what I shared about in Hebrews about the fact that the day is approaching. How many here believe that day is approaching? We're getting to a point where, hey, you know what? You know, when we're voting on the stuff that we're voting on today, and we have people that can lie out their teeth every day of the week and no one holds them accountable. You know, I really believe we're living in a day today that says calls evil good and good evil. I mean, how many we see it all the time? It's mind-boggling. It totally is. It's totally mind-boggling. But, you know, that's why we need to stir each other up. See, we can become weary and heavy-laden with that whole thing. I really believe a lot of Christians, to be honest with you today, have just said, you know what, there's nothing I can do. There's nothing that can be done, right? I mean, even, and just kind of sort of give up. There's nothing you can do. And the battle is kind of interesting, is out there. But the one thing that when we watched the Truth Project that I thought, it's true and you don't really think too much about it. But when the guy said, you know what, when you take a light and you put it in a dark room, darkness goes. So, if we can be the light like a Joseph in where we work, and our families. And everywhere we go, it says, you know, if we are such a light, then guess who gets the glory? If it's our purposeful tent, is to glorify God, right? So we can make a difference. Here's one man, Joseph, and one of the things that I, you know, think about is, I can't wait to someday to meet Joseph. Because I really want to give him a nice big hug. Because, again, I throughout my life, when I get into these situations, I'm thinking whatever's going on in my life. I think of a Joseph. And, you know, what's interesting about it is Joseph actually is a picture of Christ. And through Joseph to Christ. Because he was willing to forgive. You know, Christ says, "I demonstrated my love towards you while I was yet a sinner." You know, so his love and the actions he had is a picture of Jesus Christ. So I'll leave you with that. I thank you. Let's pray and we'll be finished. Lord, I thank you again for this day and ultimately for the Christ
in your word, in the fact that, Lord, that we can draw confidence and we know that we can trust you. And Lord, you share in your word that blessed is the man whose confidence is in you. That's what you call us to do, Lord, and to live that out. And to, as in Hebrews, it talks about the fact we gather together here today so we can stir one another. We can give each other an encouragement to live our lives, to honor you. Because, Lord, ultimately, this world is doomed. And we're just strangers and sojourners here. And we just thank you for your presence. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the Jesus Christ who was willing to come to this earth and not grasp his rightful authority, but become a servant and die for our sake. Lord, may we be grateful and thankful for that day and for the day that you claimed us. In your name we pray. Amen.